Good evening. Our scripture reading for today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, "He scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts tonight be acceptable in your sight. For God, you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Tonight, as we sit in this beautiful sanctuary with our friends, on the eve of Thanksgiving, with our families gathering from far and from near, I am sure that you will agree with me that God has been generous to us. Not only do we have this place to worship in, but we are able to freely come here to worship. And not only can we freely come here to worship, but we are free after worship to get into our cars and head out into the beautiful creation that God has made. We can get in our cars and drive out to the desert. We can head into the cities. We can go north to the forests, and we can go drive all the way to the farthest coasts on the edge of this nation. Through the car windows and through our home windows, in the fall, we watch the turning of the seasons, and now we see the geese forming up and heading south. We see the landscape turning again from green and brown to crystal white. This world is an extraordinary place. And when we stop for a moment to become aware of that, we find that there are many ways that God has been generous to us. Too many ways for us even to count. We not only have this exquisite creation and a chance at life, we have our community, our church family, our friends and our relatives. We have people who touch our lives in so many ways, and each of them is a gift to us. But even greater than this beautiful sanctuary, the wonders of creation, and the love of our families and friends is the generous gift of our relationship with Jesus Christ. When we turn our minds from this big world and we turn it inward to our hearts, and we think about this coming Advent season, we become aware even more of the amazing generosity of God. This generosity pales the gifts which we can see with our eyes. The most generous gift of God is that God loved us so much that God became human and lived among us as Jesus of Nazareth. What an absolutely amazingly generous thing to do. Wow, it's completely unbelievable. The famous verse John 3:16 sums it up best. It tells us, God so loved the world that He gave. God not only gave us this world, not only gave us our freedom, but God gave generously to us Jesus Christ, who became a person, who lived a human life, breathed the air, hugged children, and who loved us even beyond the point of His death. Our God is indeed generous beyond measure. We cannot comprehend it. But because of all of God's great gifts to us, we are called to live in a state of gratitude. This is what one of the major themes in Reformed theology. It's so important that the second question of the Heidelberg Catechism specifically references gratitude. In case you don't remember it, the second question goes like this. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, may live and die happily? Answer, 3. First, how great my sins and miseries are. Second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. And third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. What you may not remember is that this second question of the Heidelberg Catechism serves as an outline for the rest of the document. The idea of gratitude for God's gifts to us is one of the three major sections of the Heidelberg Catechism. Now, Thanksgiving is traditionally the time of year when we count our blessings, when we think about being thankful. We look across a table that's just creaking with food, and we look into the faces of the people that we love. We laugh together, talk together, enjoy each other. But thanksgiving and gratitude should not be limited to just one day a year. When we think about God's great generosity to us, it occurs every day. And the theology of gratitude, as spelled out in the Heidelberg Catechism, should become a way of life and not something that is just celebrated one day out of 365. You see, gratitude and generosity are related. They're like two sides of the same coin. Generosity is the action, and gratitude is the reaction. When we take the time to notice the generosity of God that is surrounding us, we feel, and rightly so, gratitude. And when we are feeling gracious, we tend to become more generous ourselves. In our scripture passage today, we find reference to that fact. God's generosity is outlined in verse 8. God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. While generosity begins with God blessing us, the text immediately moves to our action, our own generosity of sharing abundantly with each other. When we emulate God and become a people of generosity, we act in a generous manner. This past Sunday, when Central Reformed Church brought up our groceries, as we do every year for our in-gathering, the generosity of this congregation was readily apparent. Sue Pohl stated that this was the largest in-gathering of groceries ever. The bags completely filled the whole section of the chancel. As I watched the bags being brought up from my seat by the organ, I noticed one boy who came up to the chancel along with his father. The father was carrying a big old bag of groceries, and the young boy also had something in his hands. He was carrying a single can of SpaghettiOs. As the father put down the big bag, the young boy carefully placed his can of SpaghettiOs right next to it. You see, just as this one little boy in our congregation is learning how to be generous by imitating his father, so we as God's people learn how to be generous by imitating our Father in heaven. Here is a second story about how this cycle of generosity and gratitude works. At the last Addie's Diner here at Central Reformed Church, I'm told that Addie's closet gave away over 25 winter coats, and we could have probably given away a lot more. The larger sized coats were all gone. There were no more 2X or 3X coats anywhere. On the Wednesday morning after the coat giveaway, as I was coming into the church, I was stopped by two men at our doorway. One of them I recognized. I'd seen him before, but the other one I didn't know at all. The man I recognized said, "Hello, I was here last night. This is the place that is giving away coats, and my friend needs a coat." The friend, unfortunately, was a very large man, and he showed me how very thin his coat was. And while we didn't have any more 2X or 3X coats, and we took his name to get him on the coat waiting list, from this brief interaction with these two men, one thing stuck with me. What struck me was the smile on that first man's face. He was completely pleased about this opportunity to bring his friend to us. By Addie's closet, giving one person a coat, we were not only able to be generous to him, but we also gave this grateful recipient the opportunity for him to be generous with his own time and to help reach out to a second person by bringing that person also to us. Our generosity to one person inspired even more gratitude and generosity in the community. This is the way that the cycle of generosity and gratitude continues. In conclusion, God's generosity to us brings out our gratitude for all of the good things in our lives, and it sparks our generosity to others. Those we help, from the least of these to the greatest, are also, through their gratitude, more generous to others. Through our recognition of God's generosity, we can begin to bring more shalom, more peace, more goodwill to all of the earth. So this year, as you are sitting at the table with your family or walking through the street and being wished a happy Thanksgiving by a clerk in the grocery store, pause for a moment and retranslate the word Thanksgiving. You see, giving is another way, another word for generosity, and thanks is another word for gratitude. And that is a message we can be thankful about. Amen. Will you join me in stating what we believe by reading the confession in the bulletin? Please stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.